Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on June 1st, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. Joining us today as co-host, president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce and co-producer, Mr. Mark Lips, and of course with us because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie. Mark, how are you doing today?
It's Friday.
And the sun is shining.
And the sun is shining.
It is.
Doesn't get much better than that, does it?
That's right. I love it.
It's June 1st.
Southern California.
And
it's,
you know,
June 1.
The way, you know, and it's very quiet in here. This is another reason, Joe, why we should do these broadcasts live from here, because I'm the only one here. I'd like to have a little company, you know. I'll buy bagels and coffee. You won't have to bring in that muffin and split it up. You know, I just think that would be a fun idea. And by the way, so, Joe, you and I were talking, and for our listeners, especially those of you that have a business in the South Bay or Manhattan Beach, I think we should set up a studio capability, you know, at least plug-and-play type stuff in here. We can have the rudimentary things like, you know, a mic stand, and I can get the microphone. But, you know, plug-ins where you've got, you know, an internet connection that you can plug right into, so you got a hard line and all that. But a little studio in here, and we should do we ought to consider doing MB Chamber 360 Business Spotlights.
And
figure out what that would have to cost a business, because it'd be all about you guys giving up your time to do this and setting it up and doing it. And then we, you know, there would be a cost, but what a unique thing that these guys could do.
You had me at bagels, Mark. You had me at bagels.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's two kinds of bagels, right?
No.
Bagels and seagulls.
Oh.
Get it?
Okay.
Bagels.
And seagulls. Oh, got it.
That was an old San Francisco joke, but okay.
Okay.
This is, this is a great idea, because I think most people don't realize, you know, how powerful video can be. When someone sees you explaining your business, it's almost like you're standing there in front of them. You can be giving your typical elevator pitch 10 times, 20 times, 30 times a day when people are seeing you on video. And that's the key that I think many of your members will quickly see, is that it's a great idea to have a video of them giving their story about their business out there on the internet. And a lot of people do not have that.
You know, we have our chamber lunch today at the Bellamar Hotel, 12 to 1:30. Once again, I think it was being promoted today. But speaking of that, as far as posting and post interview and seeing it more than once, you know, we discovered, I mean, people say this, that, you know, no one's going to sit there and watch something for 30 minutes or 20 minutes, you know. What if we did 10-minute member spotlights and we designated a day that everybody just get in a queue and you pay this X amount of dollars to be able to do this because, you, like I said, you guys aren't going to give away your time. But figure out what that would be, and you do these 10-minute spotlights, and we have a logo, their logo. We do the 10-minute spotlight on the business. They're interviewed, so it is like a 10-minute show. And it could be Jackie and I interviewing, or anybody, and because I think when you have multiple voices, it actually creates a fun dynamic. But then they can take that, and yes, they can post it on social media, that 10-minute piece on their business, and that might be something might resonate better with people, you know?
Well, that's not only huge for – well, I have one of those on my website, you know, and for SEO, that's important too.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
Google likes video, you know, so you're not only giving the community an opportunity – to learn a little more intimately about that person and their business and the services they offer, but you're also doing good for your SEO.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
I like it.
If you guys,
I'm gonna,
you know what, I got to remember to bring this up. If you guys wanted to come to lunch today, lunch on me if you want to come to lunch.
I have a retirement party. I have a retirement party today. I'm going to Marner Smeltzer, who has been the president of the Redondo Beach Chamber for, I don't know, 116 years or something like that.
Yeah.
She's retiring. They're having her retirement party today.
You know,
so I
was not invited to that.
I think you can just show up, Mark.
Yeah. What time is it?
I think that.
Because I was with her all last week.
Yeah, I think you being you could just show up. I think that will be okay. It's from 2 to 5 down at the chamber offices down on the water.
Okay.
In the harbor. Yeah.
Are you bringing anything?
Just my outgoing personality.
Okay. Just wondering.
I just want to, you know, I want to mention
bring
something.
Bring her a beach ball.
We could do that.
I could bring
I
Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce beach ball to take with her to Texas.
I want to make just mention a personal thing. Last night, my husband and I went to the California Club in downtown L.A. Very, very good friend of ours, Kevin Shannon, was awarded the – he was the man of the year for Catholic Big Brothers and Big Sisters.
Wow.
Last night. Yeah, big, big deal. He's been involved. He's been on the board. He's been on the board for 25 years. And just what a crowd. They had – we were in the big ballroom. There were probably 1,000 people in there, and the overflow was in the other ballroom. I mean, he single-handedly raised – halfway through the night, it was already at $600,000.
Yeah, we could use
Catholic
a fundraiser like that.
Yeah, they were. That was before the auction, so I can't even. I bet you they hit $1 million last night. But congratulations, Kevin. He's been very, very involved with that organization. Very exciting. So,
well, that organization in Los Angeles, downtown Los Angeles, is huge. It's very dynamic and prolific, and you know, they can galvanize the Catholics like nobody else.
That's right. Anyway,
and they can still, and don't most of them still carry a ruler?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
You bid or you get smacked.
Smacked on the knuckles, that's right. Okay, so Mark, another thing I have to mention. I put out in the weekend guide yesterday and on my website that we were going to be doing this coffee clutch today. And if anybody had any questions or comments, that they should call us. And guess what? I put out the wrong number. Ha, ha, ha.
I tell you, that's 2 for 2 for you guys. 2 for 2.
I know.
I want my $40 back.
I put in 718-242-5288. It's 714-242-5288. So if anybody wants to call in today, we're going to be talking about a bunch of different topics. If you have any comments or questions, call in at 714 1-800-242-5288. So where should we start?
5288.
5288.
714-242-5288. That's
yes.
a call-in number.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got to start putting stuff like that on our radio, on our newsletter too.
Now, yesterday, Mark, somebody after I sent out that weekend guide, somebody said, "Hi, Jackie, will you please ask Mark Lips what Manhattan Beach is doing about the growing homeless population,
okay.
and if there are any efforts in place to provide a food pantry in the Manhattan Beach area for those less fortunate? I've asked the city council, and they don't seem to think it's an issue. I'd be curious to hear what Mark thinks."
Okay.
That's from Joy. Joy wrote that.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. It's funny. You know, I can give a whole ledge report. We had our legislative affairs committee meeting this week. And by the way, it's open to the public, you know, so, but that's where politicos come in, and we sit in our conference room and are representatives of the politicos, and plus others, like we have government relations from LAX, government relations from the metro system, government relations from Torrance and El Camino and Cal State Dominguez Hill, you know, all of these. And so it's really a great meeting, and plus Kelly Stroman from the downtown business and Matt Fritch, who is part of the big their company owns, he's government relations for the studios, the Carlisle Studios, which owns Manhattan Beach Studios here. And so he's always there. And we like him coming because he always seems to want to buy pizza for all of us. So that's great.
Oh.
But we had a really spirited, very, very good meeting, great turnout. I really enjoyed it. We felt like we were solving the world's problems this year, this meeting, because, and I'll get to the homeless because that was on our list of discussion. Oh, and there's always a council representative there. Nancy Herzman is our legislative affairs council rep. One thing we endorse different bills and different agendas coming up on, at state and at the state level, and usually their politicos are there, their representatives are there to kind of describe it, and then we can sometimes take a vote, and as a legislative affairs committee for Manhattan Beach, take a yay or nay position or hold off. And one thing we did hold off was the Tax Fairness, Transparency and Accountability Act. Now, if you look at that act, and this is the act of 2018, it all sounds great. I mean, on the surface, you say, okay, and this is a problem. It is a problem. And we think there is something here, but it needs to be modified in some way because you don't want to slow up the process of being able to, and I'm thinking more at the local level, but what the Tax Fairness, Transparency, and Accountability Act of 2018 it ensures, and this will be voted on, it ensures that the money that was put towards that particular initiative, like if you voted for, put that money towards that. You know, an easy example to use is lotteries, where lotteries say 60% of our revenue will go towards education or something like that, and then you wonder, well, where is that money for all the,
right,
for the education?
Exactly.
That should solve all of our problems. The amount of money they make on a lottery should buy books for everybody and across the state, and then we have some left over to give to Arkansas. But the problem is you can buy all those books, and then if you do have leftover money, or if you do have an emergency, you know, like on the local level, say we fix a problem that we've had and the money's went to it and there's a little left over, but there's an emergency over here in another sector, another area, and we need funds for that, there has to be some sort of a mechanism to where we can legitimately rob Peter to pay Paul over here because we need that money. You know, if it makes sense. Now, the mechanism may be that we need to qualify what that means. In other words, the initiative that you initially put the money toward has to have already been handled and paid off or whatever, right? And then this is additional funds that maybe can be earmarked for something along the same lines, but in a different pool of money. But anyway, the city council isn't taking a stand on it yet. They want to see if it actually makes it to ballot, and as does the chamber. And because we don't want the city not to be able to accomplish its goals, if and some of those goals may be for business, you know, infrastructure, helping out our walk-up appeal in our retail areas and things like that. Maybe putting more law enforcement on the street in some of these retail areas, which means we'd have to do hiring. And where are you going to get the money for that? So we may, you know, have to pull from another resource to put it over there, because safety is a real top concern of everyone. Yes.
Oh, okay, I have a quick question. You mentioned the lottery, and obviously that's state level, and what you're talking about is more, you're interested in the more local level.
Well, it's a state initiative, but
initiative.
Where I'm thinking of it is, I mean, it hasn't been on the ballot yet. This is something that has to get enough signatures to make it to the ballot, but I think they'll probably get the signatures, you know, I'm assuming. But we want to wait. We won't know for a couple of 3 weeks or so. And so we want to wait and see if it actually makes it, and see if there's any modifications that come to it. But go ahead on the lottery. Yes.
So you mentioned the lottery, but here's my issue. You're talking about having this initiative that gives you transparency. You're going to raise the money, and you say it's going to go for this, and as you said, the lottery should be able to cover just about every school expense need there is. But it's like what's happened with the gas tax and other things like that. They said that it's supposed to go and improve roads, existing roads, and it's not. It's going to all of these other projects already.
Right.
So, I mean, A, there shouldn't have to be. If they say we're raising money for this, that's what the money should go for.
And that's what I think. That's why I think, by the way, we want to repeal that gas tax too. But that's why because look at the burdens you're placing on our truck drivers and people who have cars. I mean, that just put them up into a whole other tax bracket, you know, and it's not helping.
Oh. Well, yeah.
But so that's one of the reasons. That's the reason that we want to repeal it. I mean, we like the idea of money going towards our roads. We think the infrastructure needs help, you know, that's crumbling all over the country.
But that's why we believe
in the transparency, and so does City Council, and the Chamber believes in transparency as well. But we just believe there need to be some modifications here, or we're going to run into issues.
As we already are, as I said, on the state level, we already are running into issues, which is a little messed up.
Then the other thing, it was much easier for us to approve. And that is, I don't know if you guys know, but one of the bills or something that was being introduced, it was actually introduced as a two-year bill, introduced in 2017, is a drinking water tax. Now, the reason they want to tax drinking water for all of us in California is because there's 5% of the communities in California where their drinking water is not so good, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it's not so good is because locally there in those communities, their agriculture is leaking chemicals into their drinking water. That's one of the reasons, okay? It's a big reason. Well, why should the South Bay have to bail out that community up north and put us at another tax for us in the South Bay and another tax for us where we're already being taxed to death? There are other solutions. I mean, that's kind of almost like it's almost like creating a food stamp program for these cities that we are on our backs are taking care of. And so we think there's other solutions. You know, we think that maybe you should go talk to those farms in your neighborhood and start getting them to take care of the situation themselves, right?
Well, the farms, if you're talking about the Central Valley, the farms are the biggest consumers of water, you know, and they get all sorts of tax breaks and stuff. We're not talking necessarily about the little mom and pop farmer. The ones that are causing that issue are the bigger farmers, and they could be carrying their weight a lot more. I don't know that it should
fall
on
us. Well, I think, and that's what we're saying. We're saying there are other solutions than to quickly just say, well, let's tax everybody in the state so we can solve this little town's problems. Well, that's that go other places, look for other solutions before you just fall back on a tax to everyone in the South Bay, you know, so we can help pay for these guys. And the farmers should be more, you know, these agricultural areas, and it is the big ones, you know, the Monsantos of the world, that need to take more responsibility for what's leaking into our water system.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, what chemicals
yeah.
you're using, all of that, because they're using these chemicals to for pesticides and to ward off, you know, make their tomatoes shinier and things like that. So we opposed the drinking water tax. That was one of the things we did. Another thing we did, we opposed we approved the Property Tax Fairness Initiative. And this is something, you know, with real estate, the way it's been in California, the Property Tax Fairness Initiative allows 55 and over to move somewhere within the state and still retain their property tax rates.
Explain that.
Well, you know how it works now, Prop 13. Well, you know how
right,
it works
Prop
now.
13.
If I'm
yeah.
I've been in my house for 50 years, and so I have this low property tax that hasn't, you know, it's stayed right where it is, and that's great,
right.
wonderful. But if I move, first of all, the people moving into my house, they now get hit with the current property tax
right.
rate based on the square
right.
footage.
Evaluated,
and if I move
yeah.
into a new house in California as a senior citizen who now is moving out and wants to buy somewhere cheaper or downsize or go live near my son or daughter, and you know, I'm penalized, and I might be on a fixed income, you know, because mm-hmm. I'm retired or I can't find work or I'm sick or whatever. And so I'm penalized with a higher property tax when I move.
Right.
And that
right. whenever you
we
buy
really
a new
need
home.
To,
yeah.
Right. And we really need to help these guys out because they're moving a lot of times for the right reasons. I mean, they're moving because they need to downsize. Their kids are out of the house. They're older. They need to move closer to family who can help take care of them. You know, this is for 55 and over, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they call it an unfair moving penalty they're paying on these property taxes for seniors. So we think that's fair that they should, you know, when you're over 55, I mean, maybe they'll play with the age a little bit, but – if you're over 55, you shouldn't be penalized if you have to move. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, we agree on that, and then we talked about homelessness in Manhattan Beach, and Nancy was there, and I had spoken to the city prior to the meeting because I wanted to bring it up too, just as Joy was talking about. I wanted to bring this up as an issue, and. We have currently right now we have six, and I think you and I have talked about this before. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
We have six homeless in the database. We have about 20 homeless running around. Now, you know, compared to Redondo, of course, some people will just, you know, roll their eyes when Manhattan Beach talks about their homeless issue because, you know, it's Manhattan Beach and 20 homeless and really? You really think you have a problem? You know, but we're looking at percentages. If it was four homeless 3 years ago and now it's 20 homeless, that's a pretty big percentage
yes.
increase. And that's what we're right. seeing. And so it dovetails what's happening in Redondo and Torrance and other places too, Venice and Santa Monica, of course. Now, and we've had two public meetings on this. Where people could come and weigh in with the city and with their consultants. They have consultants on this homeless issue right now. And one of the things that's come out of it that we need to do, and Nancy and city council, her city council peers, are working on this now. This is all being tasked and with a committee and being discussed and all this. One thing we need is more mental health professionals to work alongside our police on more than just one day a week. We have a lady who comes mm-hmm. in on Tuesdays. Used to be Friday. Now it's Tuesdays. She works with the police department, travels around, deals with the homeless. Homeless will talk to her more than they will talk to a policeman. They see that uniform and, you know, listen, based on my early days, I see a uniform and I start to go, what did I do? And I wait a second, I'm totally innocent. I didn't do anything. But you know how you just, you know, I was a troubled youth. So these guys also have, these mental health professionals also have a database that they have available to them that the police don't have available to them. So they can actually get this person's name, look it up, find out where they are, where their family is, if they're in there. And if they're not in there, they can add them to the database, okay? So they can continue to create this database. And all, like, PATH, South Bay COG, Harbor Faith, and other mental health groups that have homeless initiatives are all beginning to merge their databases so everybody has the ability to go to that database and find a person. So everybody has the same information. It's confidential, so a policeman can't go to it. It's for mental health professionals only. But that's one day a week, you know. And so one of the things – so we're going to work on that. We think there needs to be more mental health professionals who can run around with our police department on more than just one day a week. Secondly, we need to educate our small businesses on who to call, when to call. Listen, if it's on the weekend, unfortunately, you got to call the police department. But if it's during the week, you need to call PATH or Harbor Faith. And I've sent those numbers out before in my newsletters, and actually I've sent them out as standalone e-blast too. But those numbers should be posted in every business so employees can see that. And if you have a, rather than give, because we don't think, if you give a homeless person a handout, you're not giving them really a leg up. And you need to help them in other ways, okay? All you're doing is perpetuating. You're doing that for them to move along, but they'll be back when you give them a handout. And so you need to give them a leg up. And a leg up is talk to PATH, talk to Harbor Faith, see if we can't find out what their issues are, find those mental health professionals who can talk to them and find out where their issues are. I mean, we had a mother-daughter here in Manhattan Beach, homeless for whatever reason. I'm sure work-related and all of that. But their family was in Mississippi. Well, mental health, a cop is just going to move them along. He doesn't know who they are, where they are. They won't talk to, you know, where they came from, all of that. The mental health professional had them in the database as a homeless family, okay? Family in Mississippi. They, and I don't remember if it was PATH or Harbor Faith or who it was, but or South Bay COG, they got a plane tickets for these two people and were able to get them back to their family in Mississippi. And that's the kind of stuff you need to do. That's the kind of stuff you need to do. And if it's a mental issue, then we also – so there's another thing. We need to expand the definition of disability or disabled. Right now, you know, if you're homeless, they don't really list you as a disability. What they do is the police will take you to the nearest hospital and drop you off. And the hospital, you know, can keep you for 72 hours and they have to let you go. A lot of times – they leave before that because the hospitals are so busy anyway, they don't have time to really work diligently on drilling down and finding out who this homeless person is, where do they live, where should they go, all of this, and do you need meds, do you have meds, you know, what meds do you need, you know, that sort of thing. And so we're working on that. We've got to really coach and educate our local businesses on how to handle the homeless in that just giving them some money or giving them a bagel or giving them some food or drink is not helping you. It's not solving the issue, okay? But we do realize, everybody realizes, and everybody's in agreement that it has to be done in a humane way. You will run into those people, and I've met them here in town, who just kick them out, move them on down the road, you know, with harsh, you know, but they have, there is a whole policy, and I've forgotten the name of it, but there's a whole policy for the homeless that was written in, I think, 2017 or 18, earlier in 18, their rights, and they do have rights. So just as much as a business has rights and a community has rights, the homeless have rights too, and you have to deal. We want to make sure everybody's dealing with this in a fair and humane way, and helping those folks. Now, let's go to what Joy was talking about, a food pantry. Now, this is what Santa Monica is cautioning us about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is something we have to discuss, because what Santa Monica did, and we had a police officer from Santa Monica, and he wasn't asked to attend, it wasn't requested, he wasn't on the agenda as a speaker at our two public meetings, but he stood up when they asked for public comment. He stood up and he said, "I just wanted to be here and let you know that if you create and this is hard to say sometimes, because you know there has to be something for these guys to be able to survive day to day, right? But he said, if you create in your small beach community, if you create social initiatives, food pantries, all of that,
shower facilities, things like that.
Well, come to think of, okay, so you'll end up attracting homeless.
Yeah, yeah.
And you will only increase your issue. Now, speaking of the shower facilities. And toilet facilities. We did discuss, and the city is discussing, maybe allowing the restrooms to stay open later. That's one of the solutions that they're looking at, or one of the remedies they're looking at. But the thing is, then are you opening yourself up to crime, sexual
yes.
misconduct, all of these other things that could happen
right,
along the beach with these restrooms that aren't in our beach areas.
Mark, I have a question for you.
And that has happened. That has happened.
Yep.
Have you had any of the faith-based communities, American Martyrs or other organized religion faith-based organizations say, well, we want to help, we want to participate, perhaps they could provide a day when people could come in and take a shower or get cleaned up, and this could be handled by the churches, Hope Chapel.
Yes, but I think that's to Mark's point about whether it's a city or an NGO or a faith-based organization, if you're providing those, you are going to attract more, is what I think it all comes down to the same thing.
And the policeman in Santa Monica said that has made this a huge issue. I talked to a policeman when I was visiting my son in Oregon at Eugene, at the University of Oregon.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Their homeless problem has spiraled out of control.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
And the policeman was telling me the reason is because, it's a very liberal town. It's a university town, very liberal town. He said, we have social groups that have created
it's like a vacation destination for homeless
opportunities, right, on every block. And he said, it has just become a major attraction for homeless.
Let me tell you something, Mark. I was in Portland last year. I had never been up there. A good friend of mine moved up there, and we were doing a fishing trip. And we stayed in downtown Portland. And, I will never go back there, at least not until they clean up the homeless issue, because the streets, I mean, we've all seen it downtown L.A., the underpasses, and in some of the warehouse districts.
Mm-hmm.
But beautiful downtown Portland has been taken over. And I'm not talking about encampments. I'm talking every street corner, everywhere. And I mean, they set up tents right on the street, right on the sidewalk. We literally had to walk over people to get down the street. And I was like, what is going on here? They're not hidden away in encampments or off in a park someplace. They're everywhere. And it's a very young population. It's a matter of fact, my friend said to me, yeah, the going joke is we have the best looking homeless population in the country. Because, I mean, years ago, it was Seattle. Seattle was a mecca for young runaways, homeless, that whole thing. And then it was Portland. And I was horrified. I was horrified. And what made it worse was many of the shops, coffee shops, they had signs on their door restrooms open to everyone. I saw them feeding people. I saw cafes bringing out stuff and feeding these people on the streets. I understand that, you know, this is all, you know, brotherly love and stuff and taking care of people, but if you're trying to conduct commerce, it's not a good situation.
Well, here's the thing. There has to be a humane way of dealing with it. And you can't, in the past, the way the knee-jerk reaction, and, you know, we've seen these instances where a certain police department would pick up the homeless and go drop them in another area. Well,
right.
That's not the answer. That's not solving anything. That's pushing people down the road. That's a move along philosophy, and we got to get away from that move along philosophy and give real help to these guys. Now, so providing social services, giving all the businesses giving handouts is not a solution. I'm not even sure opening shop. You know, there are groups who will say, like for instance, Harbor Faith and PATH and other. There's the South Bay Homeless Coalition too. That, you know, give us the money. Let us use that money to get them what they need. In other words, it could be this person. It could be he needs his medication refilled. Okay.
Right.
Could be this person needs a suitcase. Could be this person needs a plane ticket to Mississippi. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So you're better off. Instead of giving that money to the homeless person, when you feel like you need to do that, donate it to PATH or Harbor Faith and let those guys distribute that to the people who need it. And by the way, I'm sure, I don't know now, this I don't know, but perhaps there could be donations where you could, once again, transparency, say, I want this to go towards our homeless in Manhattan Beach or homeless in Torrance or homeless in Redondo, and you can designate that. That's actually an idea that maybe these guys should think about too. But we've got to find – and so, Joe, getting back to your initial question, yes, there are churches there, and I can't remember. There was one church represented at these public meetings, and they said they have Harbor Faith street teams. It's a team of three. One is a mental health professional. One is an RN, a nurse. And the other is, it might
law
have been a
enforcement of some sort.
No, I don't. It wasn't law enforcement. It was like a doctor, a medic. It was more medical based.
Oh.
And there, and they talk to. They go out and they meet with the homeless and talk to them through. And it's through that church. And they provide. And they said they've been successful with that in terms of talking to the homeless, getting them in the database so that everybody has their name. If they wind up in another town, you know that, oh, these people, you know, they've discovered that through that database, this person should be on meds, has some mental issues, or this person, his family lives in, you know, the valley somewhere maybe even. And can we get you to the valley? You know, we'll drive you there, that sort of thing. So those are the things we have to find out. You know, the root cause of why they're on the street. Now, a lot of it, you know, a big percentage of it is mental health. So how do we handle that? And that's where, once again, we have to expand the definition of disabled or disability so that it includes homeless. And that's something that Janice Hahn's group, Assembly Person Janice Hahn, is working on too. That's a big hot button for her is the homeless issue, and that's
isn't it supervisor now?
Supervisor.
Supervisor Hahn.
Yeah. Mark Warnick, who was, you know, Mark probably, he was representative. This is his last week with Janice, by the way. He's going to focus more on being mayor of Lomita and spending time with family and all that. Cause boy, I tell you, that's a young man's game to be a deputy for a supervisor. I mean, you are just constantly running around and traveling around and busy.
Mm-hmm.
No life with, you know, family, because a lot of times it's weekends too. So, but anyway, so the homeless issue is front and center. We are dealing with it. That plate is spinning, and we're all trying to figure it out. But for me, the low-hanging fruit is, and you know what? This is maybe making me think I need to send out another e-blast about, you know, if it's during the week, this homeless person's in front of your business, call Harbor Faith or call PATH. These are the numbers. Here's who you call. Tell them to come out and talk to these people. You know, if it's a Tuesday, that's when the mental health professionals is traveling with a Manhattan Beach police officer who is designated the mental health professional on the police department for the homeless and domestic violence and everything else too. But, you know, if it's a Tuesday, that's really a great day to call because they'll come right over.
Right.
And try to deal with it. But giving them a handout is not giving them a leg up. It's just a move-along philosophy, and that is not helping out at all.
All right.
So you answered Joy's issue,
question.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
You did. So let me do a quick station break, and then we should get to some other news.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking with the president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Mark Lipps. Today, we're having a Manhattan Beach Chamber coffee clatch. We've talked about the homeless, and we would implore you to share this show with anyone that you know here in Manhattan Beach that wants to get involved with the homeless issue on either side. If you want to help the homeless, if you think there's a problem that's not being addressed regarding the homeless, get involved, get your voice heard. And we hope that you will be involved. And now, let's continue. What other topics, Mark, do you want to talk about?
Well, we've got some things coming up. Instagram for Badasses on Tuesday. And, you know, once again, scheduled on a city council night, so I'll be running back and forth going from one to the other. But it's 5:30 until 7 at the L Camp shared workspace in El Segundo, which is just off a block off Rosecrans. So when we say El Segundo, it's just on the north side of Rosecrans is what that means. They're a chamber member and they've opened up their space, and Ronnie Ramos is going to be doing a whole workshop on Instagram, for an interactive workshop, by the way. She's going to say, you know, bring your computers, bring your phones, and let's work on creating some great, let me show you how to do a great Instagram post. And make this engaging and what you should be focusing on. Because everybody has been saying, and you know, I'm an older guy, so Facebook still seems fresh to me, but everybody's saying that Instagram is the new marketing tool. And maybe not so new, but that's where you have to, they said, if you're a business and you're not living on Instagram as well as Facebook and other areas, I guess, but then you're missing a lot of people who live on Instagram more than they do Facebook. You know, my kids,
yeah.
And I miss a lot of pics because they say, oh, Dad, I sent it on Instagram. I go, well,
Instagram,
I don't see Instagram. I mean, a lot of really fun pics of my kids and stuff they're doing, you know?
Well, you know, I've noticed it in the last year, especially I'm getting way more engagement on Instagram than on Facebook. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I post the same thing on Facebook. I'll take a post and I'll post it across all social media platforms, and Instagram is the one that just gets the most engagement. So yeah, I know it's been like that for a while, but I've really noticed a difference in the last year.
And can you guys hear me okay? For some reason, my phone just went to speaker.
Yeah, we can hear you. It doesn't sound melodious as
it's not like
what
before.
Huh. But anyway, well, the other thing, though, so then the next step is what we all did, and I'm guilty of it, too, because I told our chamber, I said, okay, guys, we've got to really focus on Instagram. And so we would take whatever we were posting on Facebook, and we'd post it on Instagram. So we had flyers on Facebook, which is appropriate, you know, announcing something going on with a business or with a chamber or whatever. And then we'd post the flyer on Instagram. And what they're saying is that's not proper for Instagram. Instagram should be more engaging with a picture and then a description and then hashtag, right?
Right.
And that you save your flyers for Facebook and post engaging photos on Instagram with your hashtags, all these different hashtags and a comment. You know, so it's supplementing, but you're right.
all of a sudden on Instagram, we all of a sudden started seeing this uptick. It just seemed like more people, it was resonating more on Instagram than it was Facebook.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that.
Instagram, though they're a member of Facebook, was not stealing my information and selling it to the Russians. So.
That's good to know.
Right.
Good to know.
So, well, anyway, that's coming on Tuesday, 5:37, and it's going to be a lot of fun. They're going to be, you know, they'll have a couple snacks there or some snacks there, and but that'll be a very engaging, also just in a very cool space. If you have not been or visited Elk Camp, it's the coolest, for me, it's the coolest shared workspace around because, first of all, it's locally owned, and they call it Elk Camp because they want you to feel like you're in a lodge somewhere in the woods. And so, I mean, they've got, it's all woods, very dark, I mean, woods and paneling and you know, beam ceilings and an oar hanging on the wall, you know, snowshoes, things like that. And they have a television that's as large as an office wall in the center common space. They have a, so if you do a presentation, Ronnie is just going to look like an ant compared to what she puts up on the screen. So really amazing. So, but anyway, that's on Tuesday, 5:37. We're doing it in the evening just to see if we can get, if you know, if maybe that resonates as a better time for these kinds of events, because a lot of times we'll do them at 10 a.m. or noon or, you know, and we just want to, we want to figure that out. And then, of course, June 15th and 16th is our Home and Healthy Living Expo that right now is at the National Guard Armory on Bell Avenue, 3601 Bell Avenue near Rosecrans. And we're going to have about 50 vendors. I'm going to get some entertainment. You know, this is our first year doing this. We want it to be for all ages. I go, you know, from toddler to senior. We want kid interactive areas, all this. And, you know, everything about leading a healthy lifestyle. And that includes, you know, it might be how, you know, the materials you use from your home to the food you put in your body, okay? And so what we want to do, this is the first year, so it's a, it's in a growing process. But my mission with this particular event is to partner with the city, and I'm meeting with their environmental director next week, plus I'm going to be on their special events committee beginning in July, and they are very interested in partnering with this as well, to where the city comes in as a full partner, and we really blow it out. We just turn it into a, you know, it would be the Fiesta Hermosa of healthy living, okay?
Wow.
But it wouldn't be Cutco Knives. It would be, or the Hometown Fair. Maybe that's a better thing. It would be the Hometown Fair of healthy living. So instead of crafts, you know, vendors all up and down the street, it would be all about yoga and nutrition and demonstrations and a place to do yoga with your kids and gratitude rock. So it would be also emotional and mental health, as well as you know, practical things on how to do your, how to set your house up so that it's prepared for the future in terms of what your needs are going to be, and invariably the costs will be lower too. You know, anytime you get involved environmentally, your costs always go down because you know, you're lowering your use of electricity or carbon based things and fossil fuels and all of that. So we think because of Manhattan Beach, the culture we have here of a healthy lifestyle, you know, from volleyball to our seniors doing things over here at Joslyn to the chip path, running up and down the chip path to the yoga on the beach to all of our fitness studios, all of those things, our LEED certified architects that are here, that this would be an expo that is, would resonate particularly with this community, but certainly with all the South Bay communities. And I don't, you know, we want to do it on a big, you know, noisy level. Joslyn Center does one here. The seniors do one, but that's for 55 plus. So when you go in there, it's all about Social Security or all dealing with Alzheimer's or senior living facilities, things like that. And we can have those, but we want to expand it beyond that so that, you know, to families, to kids, to everyone.
Healthy living for all.
Right.
Healthy living for all, yes.
Well,
you
next year, I call it Home and Healthy Life Expo.
Mm-hmm.
My staff likes that. I'm going to pull rank, and next year I'm calling it the Healthy Living Expo.
There you go.
Yes.
You shouldn't just start thinking about living healthy after 55. You need to think about throughout the entire lifetime.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And by the way, for Joy or for South Bay Homeless Coalition, for others, PATH, Harbor Faith, they can all have booths there and educational booths and talk to businesses about, you know, what to do, how to healthily, you know, how to have a healthy response to our homeless issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like that. All right. So when is that, and where? What's the?
That's June 15th and 16th, a Friday and mm-hmm. Saturday. It'll be a Friday afternoon and all day Saturday at the Manhattan Beach National Guard Armory. So if you want a booth, call me up. Let us know. You can be indoors or outdoors. By the fact that we're doing it at the Armory, there is space outdoors on the grass. There is space indoors in that, you know, which is basically a sound stage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then because it's an armory. And all the tanks will be moved to the back fence, by the way. So the other thing is, because it is the National Guard Armory and it has wire all around it, we can lock things up Friday night, and there's no everything will be secure. Nothing will – you can leave everything
cool.
there. You don't have to pack it up or worry about it. You can just leave it where it is and pick up from where you left off the next morning.
All right. Tell us a little bit about you had a couple of events last night, something at West Drift and something at Shades.
Our YPC, our Young Professionals Council, which I'm out of the demo, but I'm finding out that even if you're over 40, a lot of people are going to it because it's just a vibrant – well, they did something at Shade where great partners of the chamber, offered up learning how to make a crafted cocktail. And so they had one of their bartenders work with the Young Professional Council on making a crafted cocktail, and they created a cocktail, which I think is kind of fun, right? And then last night, another great chamber member, the West Drift, hosted our after-hours socials. We do our after-hours socials the last Thursday of every month. We're thinking of changing that to a Wednesday, like the second or third Wednesday of the month, by the way. They did not hold back because they also have a lab for cocktails, and they were creating cocktails for our group that were there. They were, and it was all comp. They took care of everything. They provided food out on the patio area overlooking the golf course, so the setting was just unbelievable. It was like you were at a resort for after hours. And
nice.
Everybody was saying how wonderful it was. But they really shone the staff there at West Drift. They, what's interesting, they, and this kind of falls in with the chamber. I said, so somebody mentioned something about getting a West Drift logoed shirt or something. And they said, sorry, we don't have a gift shop. West Drift does not have this boutique hotel, fine dining, crafted cocktails, wonderful art everywhere, beachy-looking sort of resort feel wherever you go, and no gift shop because they feel that's too commercialized. That's too whatever you want to – so they say, listen, if someone needs something, we will get it for them or we will recommend a place for them to go if they are leaving. So they will recommend local businesses – and send you there, or they will get it for you, you know?
Nice, nice.
So I said, I want a horse. And
you want a pony.
I want a pony. And they said, we draw the line at ponies.
at ponies. Oh, okay, darn. Well, you
so,
try.
But I thought that was kind of a cool thing, you know. No gift shop. If you need a tie or a shirt, we'll find you one. We'll get one. We'll get your size. We'll get you one. Or we'll tell you a men's store or a woman's store that's nearby where you can go and get one yourself. You know, Manhattan Village is right there, so that's great for them to have that kind of relationship. Of course, you got the retail all along Rosecrans that's right there also just north of the West Rift. So there's lots of places for people to go and walk around. And the fact that they're encouraging them to get out and about and to see Manhattan Beach and see our business and visit our businesses is – I think a great concept or attitude to have.
Yeah, you know, it's funny when you a lot of people, they go to these resorts wherever it is in the world, and they never leave the property. You know, these resorts make it so that you don't have to leave the property. They want you to stay in the property, and that's all great and convenient, but you miss out on the culture of wherever it is you're visiting. So that's I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
So that's
and it's good for the business.
Our mission. And you know, when I was introducing the staff, one of the things I was saying was, you know, this is our hotel because all of their even though the parent company is Marriott, the boutique line that they have, which is the Autograph Collection, when they go into an area, and there's only I think we're the only one in LA County, or maybe two in LA County, but there's only eight around the world of these boutique hotels. But what they try to do is characterize the hotel to the community. So each hotel is different depending on where they are. And ours, because of the beach, is very beachy, very open, very airy, very you know woods and you know
driftwood and
wood type stuff and beach art all over the place and. Even the name of the bar is Jute because of the Jute. Joe can probably speak more to Jute than I can, but Jute Fibers, and the name of the hotel West Drift, because every Autograph Collection hotel has its own unique name based on the community, and ours is West Drift because of the something I didn't know. It has always been labeled and talked about, and they showed me articles going back to the early 20th century talking about the West Drift of our sands, the Manhattan Beach sands, the westerly drift, the West Drift. And you hear these articles that they sent to me are, they mentioned the West Drift in Manhattan Beach, you know, from back in the day. And so that's how they came up with the name. And that's cool, too. So, you know, I encourage anybody to go there and just go sit at the bar and relax. It's very relaxing. Because you're just looking out over this panoramic view. You're in this beachy type setting. The people are nice. And you know what's cool, too, is they have a few locals that are working there. Joe Franklin's daughter is working the front desk. Joe's a longtime volunteer and been involved in Manhattan Beach. There's another lady there, Blair, who came up through MVU school system and grew up here in Manhattan Beach. And so they've hired some locals, which is good. They didn't just promote them from, you know, another Marriott somewhere.
Corporate, yeah.
And if they did, they tried to find people who grew up here who might want to come back here. So there's a tie to the community, even with some staff.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I haven't been over to it. I'm looking forward to seeing the new – the remodel, all the work they did, and I'll get over there soon enough.
Yeah.
But Joe.
Yeah, let me know when you're going over. You know, I'll let him. You know, tell him South Bay by Jackie coming over to the West Drift, and I'll hook you up with
It'll
Maureen, who can give you a tour, and you know, bring your camera and all of that, and walk around. Maybe they'll sponsor something. Maybe you could do a live broadcast for an event there or something. So.
Joe, Mark is awfully fast and loose with these live broadcasts, isn't he?
Want to grow your company, you need more staff.
I know.
What did you think of my Happy Friday? You see what my
I saw it this morning. It's all revamped.
Is it too much?
No, I like it. It looks good. I like it. I like the format.
Okay.
It looks terrific. That's
you know,
Happy
I've had
Friday.
People like even Ronnie. And now my new marketing person here, she goes, Mark, we have got to do something with your Happy Friday. I mean, I like the content, but oh, my gosh, you know. And so she said, let me take a look at it on my off time. and that's Carolina, who's our new director of our marketing manager here. And this is what she did. She even took that little cartoon picture of me.
I like, yes.
And yeah. fixed it up even more. I mean,
yes.
that's all her, all of that. That she did,
it
you
looks
know?
Good.
And she made spacers. She just made it more engaging and more alive. And so,
right.
same content.
Nice.
It's actually,
you know?
It's very, very good.
Thank you, Joe.
Yes,
very good.
It
love it.
That's high praise from Joe. All right, we got to wrap it up,
and,
guys.
And, you know,
it's Friday.
Oh, by the way,
you
guys, I have Manhattan Beach. Walking, I have Manhattan Beach maps now here in the office, and they'll also be delivered to all the hotels and businesses and you know, whenever we get to a business or whatever. But if any of your listeners want a map of Manhattan Beach, it's a fun map. It also has an article in there, 48 hours, what to do in 48 hours in Manhattan Beach. But stop by. You can have as many as you want. If you are a company that has visitors coming to your company, you might want some of these maps for your office. So come on by. We got tons of them.
I just dropped a whole bunch of them off. I was at a business in Hermosa the other day that is going to be kind of an international thing. You'll be hearing about it soon enough. I went over to meet with them yesterday, and I said, oh, here's some maps of Manhattan Beach and things. And they were like, oh, thank you very much. So they'll be handing them out to the international tourists. All right, Joe, we got to wrap this up. It's Friday.
Friday.
It's Friday. I just have to say that I never knew you were Samoan, and it's wonderful that you're so celebrating your heritage, Mark, with your Samoan Voyaging Society quote there. And
I love that quote.
Yeah.
I love the picture of us all doing our kangaroo.
Oh, yeah.
Kangaroo jumping.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that
well,
was fun. That was
thank,
fun.
Joe, you don't look like you're jumping much.
I'm
well, we
got to
get the video.
That's the difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to get the video from Mark. Mark, you'll forward the video when they send that to you, right? Of
yeah,
our
they did. They didn't send it to you?
Well,
oh,
I didn't get
it.
All right, email it to me. I'll get it out there.
Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah. That's fun.
Thank you for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. You've just been listening to the Manhattan Beach Chamber Coffee Clatch right here on the South Bay Show. And we'll be back next week, next Friday, as we are every Friday. And thank you, Mark Lipps, Chamber President and CEO. And, of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
Oh, always
we
a
had
pleasure,
a great
Joe.
Time.
Stop stealing my line.
We had a great time. And we hope
all right, guys,
have
a great
weekend.
Great
time sharing this. Yes, we will, Mark. Thank you, and you too.
Thanks.
We hope you will share this with all your friends and share it in appropriate places, maybe not on Instagram because you don't share audio on Instagram, remember? You got to share things appropriately.
Really? They don't do
but
video on Instagram
Facebook,
now and audio? Huh.
I don't think you do generally. You can do links, so it's got to be a picture and a link.
Well, that'd
a picture
be good.
And a description.
You know, by the way, if you have a picture of us last week sitting in the chairs, maybe that's something we could use as a header to promote this show.
Yeah, we need to get that. We need to get one of those. By the way, Mark, we don't have anything from last week's show, not even a picture.
Right. Well, I thought there might have been a shot.
Not even.
Going there. The black hole.
We won't rub salt in that wound anymore. Sorry.
The black hole. Okay. What are we talking about? It's a secret, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Thank you very much, everyone. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Ciao.